This month's theme is walking by faith. Walking by faith. And friends, I just want to share this thought with you tonight. You know, we live in a glass bowl. We live in a glass bowl, and people are observing our lives on the outside all the time. People on the outside are always observing our lives, the good details as well as the bad. Say, for instance, that somebody on the outside, an acquaintance, somebody in your life knows that you live at John 3:16. They observe that you live here, and they've seen a positive difference in your life. They know that you live at this shelter, and they've seen a positive change in your life. And because they see that positive change in your life, they're prompted to ask about John 3:16 shelter. And you can respond to them that, you know, they feed us physically here, but most importantly, they feed us spiritually from the Word of God. There's a different chapel speaker every night of the week. So people observe you. They observe that you're here at the shelter. They see a positive change, and they're prompted to ask you about this place. Now, keep that thought in mind. Tonight, we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. And this is what he writes. He says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." So I'm going to give you a brief historical overview of the epistle of 1 Peter. This epistle was written shortly before Peter's martyrdom under Emperor Nero of Rome. The recurring theme in 1 Peter is the suffering of Christ and his saints. You see, these first century Christians faced desperate times under the Roman Empire. And during the rule of Emperor Nero, the government policy shifted from tolerance to open persecution of Christians in Rome. So they were facing desperate times. And so Peter is writing in 1 Peter 3:15, he says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." What is he saying to these first century Christians who were being persecuted? He was saying this: be always prepared to give an answer to your persecutors who ask for the reason for your hope. Be always ready to give an answer to your persecutors who ask for the reason of the hope you have in Jesus Christ. And later on in the epistle, Peter encourages the readers to stay firm in the faith, to stay steadfast in the faith, and that they have a heavenly award awaiting them if they stand firm amidst the persecutions. Is that making sense? So for us today, I'm going to modernize it. I'm going to apply it to us today. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. And if you remember nothing else tonight, remember this one question. What would prompt an outside observer in your life to ask the reason for the hope, the faith that you have in Jesus Christ? If there's an acquaintance, if there's somebody you're in relationship with, if there's somebody on the outside observing your life, what would prompt that person to ask you the reason for the hope that you have? As Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15. Think about that question for just a second. If you remember nothing else from tonight, remember this one question. What would prompt somebody on the outside to ask me the reason for the hope that I have in Jesus? To ask me the reason for the faith, for the relationship that I have with Jesus? Think about that. You know what would prompt them to ask you the reason for your hope? It's plain and simple. It's real easy. It's your lifestyle. It's your Christ-like and godly lifestyle. How are you living your life? Are you living your life like the world, doing the things that the world does, that non-believers do? Or are you living your life in a godly and Christ-like manner. You know, Peter, right before he pens the words, always be prepared, what does he write in verse 15 of 1 Peter 3? He says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Set apart Christ as Lord. Another translation says, sanctify Christ as Lord. In other words, honor Jesus Christ as Lord, as the master, as the ruler, as the supreme in authority over your life. Are you honoring Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life? Remember, we live in a glass bowl. People are always observing us from the outside. They see the good and they see the bad. You know, if you work for somebody 8 hours in a day and that person is paying you, for those 8 hours, that person is your boss. Well, guess what? Let's modernize it. Let's make it spiritual here. Jesus wants to be the big boss of your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've preached this here many times, but it bears repeating tonight. Jesus Christ is to be the Lord of your thoughts. Jesus Christ is to be the Lord of what you do with your body. Jesus Christ is to be the Lord of your spirit. Jesus Christ is to be the Lord of your relationships. Jesus Christ is to be the Lord of your finances. Jesus Christ is to be Lord of the words that flow forth out of your mouth. He says it in 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Honor Jesus Christ as Lord. Are you honoring Jesus Christ as Lord, as ruler, as master, as controller over every part of your being? Is it you that's in control of your life, or is Jesus Christ in control of your life? What does your lifestyle say to the world around you? Does it say that you're like the world, or does it say that you're Christ-like? Does it say that you're sinning, or does it say that you're living a godly life? What did Jesus say in John 8, verse 12? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And guess what? We are followers of the light, Jesus Christ. We're little lights. And what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14? He said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Say it with me tonight. I am the light,
the light
of the world. Because I follow the great light, Jesus Christ. Never forget that, friends. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. Is your lifestyle evidencing the light of the world? Are you giving evidence that you're a follower of Jesus Christ to those in your spheres of influence, to those around you? Remember this. There's darkness all around us. There's evil forces at work all around us all the time. There's darkness around us all the time. There's people that are stuck in the world. They're stuck in sin. You know, and if you're setting apart Jesus Christ as your Lord, you will stand out. You will stick out to others as a light in the midst of a dark and messed up world. If you're sanctifying Jesus Christ as Lord, guess what? You are going to stick out. You are going to stand out as a light in the midst of a dark and ugly world. People are going to see that there's a difference in you. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
So, what would prompt somebody to ask the reason for your hope, for your faith, for your relationship with Jesus Christ? As we said, it's your lifestyle. Following Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I'm going to give you some for instances here tonight. Let's say you're with a group sitting down for a meal, and there's some Christians and there's some non-Christians in this group, and you bow your head to pray. You bow your head to pray, and you pray over the meal. You're standing out as the light in this dark world. And that person, a non-Christian, later may be prompted to ask you, why did you pray before the meal? And that question right there can be a channel to sharing the reason for your hope in Jesus Christ. Another for instance, let's say that you're walking along, you're walking in a room with a friend, with an acquaintance. Maybe he's a nominal Christian. You're wearing sandals, for instance, and you stub your big toe against a piece of furniture. And instead of a four-letter word coming out, a smile comes to your face, and you say, "Bless God." And that person looks at you and says, "Man, instead of a smile on my face, I would have said a four-letter word." Why is it that you said something good when you stubbed your big toe? Why is it? Because you're following the light of the world. We are little lights following the great light, Jesus Christ. And that person will say, "There's something different about you. I don't hear you cuss. I don't hear you speaking four-letter words. What is it that you have that I don't have? What is the reason for your hope? What is the reason for your faith? What is it that you have that I don't have?" And you can share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that making sense here tonight? You know, you got to pray to God for strength. You've got to pray to God for help, because it's not always easy to make Jesus Christ Lord. A lot of times, as I've said before, we want to be in control of our own lives. Who's got the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? If it's you, guess who wants to be in the driver's seat of your life? Jesus Christ. It's not always easy to make Jesus Lord. It's not always easy to shine as a light in a dark world. It's not always easy to live a Christ-like lifestyle in the midst of a messed up and ugly world. And when it's tough and you can't do it, you cry out to God and say, "God, I can't do this. The temptations are too great. God, I cry out to you for your help." And God will give you His grace and His empowerment to live as a light, to live a Christ-like life. Is that making sense here tonight? Say you go to a party, a Christmas party with a friend and an acquaintance, a nominal Christian, a non-believer, and this person knows that you're a recovered alcoholic. And in this Christmas party, there's a group of people, for instance, casually drinking. And you see that group of people, and guess what? Instead of involving yourself with them, you walk away and don't drink casually with that group. That person will look at you and say, "Wow, you're standing out as a light in the midst of a dark world. Why is it that you didn't drink with them? What's the reason for the hope, for the faith that you have in your life?" And you can tell them, "Jesus Christ changed my life completely. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Is that making sense here tonight? Let's say you're on a long bus ride, another for instance, from Tulsa to another city, maybe 4 or 5 hours away, and you've got your Bible with you. And I like to do this sometimes. I like to read my Bible if I'm on a long trip. And you've got your Bible and you're reading your Bible, and somebody who's a non-Christian is sitting next to you on this bus. And that person then is prompted to ask you, "Man, I see you're reading your Bible. What is the reason for your hope? On this bumpy ride, why would you be reading your Bible? Why is it?" Because you're shining as a light in the midst of a dark world, because Jesus reigns on the inside of your life. Is that making sense here tonight? It's our lifestyle. It's our Christ-likeness that will prompt people to ask us, like Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, the reason for our hope. A last for instance, say somebody at work who down talks you to your boss, and this person tries to mess up your reputation in your boss's eyes. You find out about it, but instead of retaliating, instead of getting revenge, what do? You go to your boss and you speak well of your offender. And your offender finds out that you spoke well about him, and he asks you, "Why is it that you spoke well of me? What is the reason for your hope?" And you can share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus enters the human heart, the person is never the same again. Is that making sense here tonight? You've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be praying to God for His strength. You've got to be in the Word of God, the washing of the water of the Word, washing your mind, renewing your mind with the Word of God. You know, we're not to read the Bible just twice a year, at Easter and at Christmas. You need to be getting into the Bible on a daily basis. basis and meditating on the Word, mulling the Word over. As you read the Word and you meditate on the Word and you study the Word, you start becoming more godly. You start becoming more Christ-like. Because you know what? We become like the books that we read. The books that we read on a consistent basis influence us. They shape us. Why not be shaped and influenced by the greatest book in the world, the Bible, the Word of God? Could you say amen here tonight? You got to be in it on a consistent basis. Now, I'm going to read you a little illustration to the contrary about what I'm talking tonight, and it's sad. It's from the speaker's quote book. A Christian baroness living in the highlands of Nairobi, Kenya, told of a young national who was employed as her houseboy. After 3 months, he asked the baroness to give him a letter of reference to a friendly sheikh some miles away. The baroness, not wishing the houseboy to leave just when he had learned the routine of the household, offered to increase his pay. The lad replied that he was not leaving for higher pay. Rather, he had decided that he would either become a Christian or a Muslim. This was why he had come to work for the baroness for 3 months. He had wished to see how Christians acted. Now he wanted to work for 3 months for the sheikh to observe the ways of the Muslims. Then he would decide which way of life he would follow. The baroness was stunned as she recalled her many blemishes in her dealings with the houseboy. She could only exclaim, "Why didn't you tell me at the beginning?" She was full of regret. She probably didn't live Christ-like in front of this young houseboy, and she was regretting it. He didn't see the light in this woman's life. I don't want to be like that baroness. How about you? When people look at me, when people look at you, who should they see? They should see the light of the world, the great light of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Say tonight, I'm a little light.
A little light.
Following.
Following.
The great light of the world.
The great light of the world.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus Christ wants to be your Lord. Sanctify Him. Set Him apart as Lord, Peter Right. Amen? So tonight, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the reasons for the hope that you have. So if somebody observes you from the outside, like the four instances that I gave you, and they see that you're different, they see that you're Christ-like, they see that you're godly, they see that you're not acting like the world, they see that you're not getting involved in the ways and in the words of a sinful world, and they ask you for the reason of your hope, you've got to have some reasons for why you believe in Jesus Christ. How many here tonight have some reasons as to why you believe in Jesus Christ? All right. To that observer who asks about the reason for your hope, for your faith, for your relationship with Christ, you can point back to some personal reasons, personal miracles that the risen Savior did in your life. You know, if somebody asks and says, "Man, you're different. You're Christ-like. You don't get involved with the ugly stuff that other people get involved with." You could tell them, "You know what? The risen Savior did a miracle in my life. At one time, I was empty." Think back to that time you were empty. I was looking to drugs to get that high. I was looking to alcohol to drown away my sorrows. I was looking for peace on the inside, but I couldn't find it. But somebody shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with me, and Jesus Christ at that point satisfied my every longing. I did away with the drugs, I did away with the alcohol, I did away with the illicit relationship, because Jesus satisfied and fulfilled every longing I had on the inside. I tried to turn to the things of this world to find peace. I couldn't find it, but the Prince of Peace entered my life, and He brought me a peace that surpasses any human understanding. Have you been there before?
Yes.
Were you in a messed up situation at some point in the past? Did Jesus bring about a change in your life spiritually? He made you a brand new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Amen?
Yes.
Remember back to that spiritual miracle of conversion that Jesus did for you. And so when that person asks you for the reason of your hope in Jesus, the reason for your faith in Jesus, you can go back to that day that you put your faith and your trust in Him. He gave me peace that only He could give me, and nothing else could. Amen?
Amen?
Maybe you can go back to a time that you were sick and you can tell that person, you know what, the reason for my hope is that I was sick beyond repair. Or my child was sick beyond repair. The doctors gave up all hope with that cancer. But you know what? I prayed to Jesus. I cried out to God. And Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, miraculously healed me of that cancer. That's the reason for my hope. I love Him with all my heart. Or think back to a time where you were emotionally sick, maybe depressed. You didn't want to talk to people. You didn't want to get up in the morning. You didn't want to eat. You were depressed. And you can tell that person, I was depressed. But Jesus pulled me out of the cave of depression. So there are personal reasons, right? Personal miracles that you have to give for the reason of your hope. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
And then there's biblical reasons. Biblical reasons for the hope that you have in Jesus. Biblical reasons for the faith, for the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, God the Son. Amen?
Amen.
You can tell that person who asks you the reason for your hope. You could say, you know, I was bound for an eternity in hell. But over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to this earth. He died upon a cross so that I would not have to die in hell. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. You can point to biblical reasons for the hope that you have in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You tell him, you know, the angel said in Luke 24:6 that He is risen. Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Other world religion leaders have died, but they're still in the grave. But Jesus died, and after 3 days in the grave, He rose again. I serve a risen and a resurrected Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So you can point people to biblical reasons for your faith. But in order to point them to biblical reasons for your faith, you've got to know what? You've got to know the Bible. You've got to know the Word. You've got to know the Scriptures. You've got to know what's written in the greatest book in the entire world. Is that making sense here tonight?
Yes.
And then when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, personal reasons, biblical reasons, He says to do it with gentleness and respect. In other words, don't get into arguments with people. We do a lot of street ministry on the streets of Tulsa, downtown Tulsa. And there's people out there that when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will want to argue with you. Don't get into arguments. Just share the seed of the gospel, let them think about it, and if you have to peacefully walk away, you walk away. Share it with gentleness and respect. Is that good news here tonight? As you sanctify Jesus Christ as Lord, as you set Him apart as Lord, as you make Him the Lord of your life by getting into the Word, by crying out to God, if He's number one, the big boss of your life, guess what? You will be shining like a light in a dark and ugly world. And as you shine as a light, people on the outside will be prompted to ask you the reason for your hope. Amen? Now, two things we'll take into eternity with us: our relationship with Christ and those we helped lead into relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are the only two things we'll take into eternity with us: our personal relationship with Christ and those we helped lead into relationship with Jesus Christ. And most people will be won to Christ by looking at your lifestyle, by looking at you. Looking at your Christ-likeness, your godliness. Remember, we all live in a glass bowl. Amen?
Amen.